Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like for the embarrassment to stop. The city lost a very good candidate this past week, and one of our commissioners, Mr. Calkins, was in the middle of the mud. Now, I don't know what he has to do with the negotiations for the city, because he has no authority in the city. The city district does not fall under his purview when it comes to hiring people. He was with a councilman, and they did discuss negotiation issues after the city board had voted for two people to handle those negotiations.
So this is Sherry Chapman. She's one of the founding and lifetime members of the Pitchfork Posse, and she's always saying something in all the meetings. And she's there talking about this at the Santa Rosa County Committee meeting. That's like the agenda workshop for the Thursday meeting, which is the regular meeting. So this is yesterday in the Santa Rosa County, okay, where she's bringing up the Milton thing, because Commissioner James Calkins was one of the two people that Scott Collins talked to very briefly right after the meeting when they were in the parking lot. And, you know, we've told you before, kind of the implication was that something awful had happened, that he had basically been accosted by them or pressured by them or something. And then, of course, I found out from Scott Collins that nothing of the kind happened. And yet, Sherry Chapman, who has, by the way, this is important, this is going to be important in a second, Sherry has listened to the podcast summary that I gave on Friday of all these events. She knows full well that nothing happened in this encounter, that it was silly for people to think that, and because she commented on the podcast page. I actually know that she listened because she commented on the podcast page. Okay, again, I wouldn't normally bring that up. I wouldn't normally bring just ordinary citizen up in this, but this becomes relevant because also in the meeting, Romy White, who is the Santa Rosa Press or South Santa Rosa Press Gazette publisher, says,
I also want to go on record and say that Andrew McKay with News Radio interviewed the city of Milton's top candidate for city manager, and his show stated that there was a discussion in a parking lot involving Commissioner Calkins and Councilman Jeff Snow, and that was a quote nothing burger.
Which it was, and so she also, Romy, on her South Santa Rosa News Facebook page, had shared the podcast, and actually, like 2,000 people have listened to that podcast, which is kind of, it's amazing, yeah. I mean, a normal podcast for just a segment, people listen to, what, 20 or 30 times, maybe, you know, and then a good interview is maybe a couple hundred times, and so 2,000 is kind of a lot. Anyway, so widely shared, widely listened to, but she went further than this. Again, Sherry bringing this not accurate allegation about Jeff Snow and James Calkins to the county commission meeting, where Romy is responding on my behalf. Not really on my behalf, but with evidence we gave, right?
I know that we have a surrogate for a challenger to Mr. Calkins who likes to use this podium for campaigning. And so I just wanted to go on record saying that people should tune into Andrew McKay and get their information from a reliable news outlet like him rather than somebody who's known to lie. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. So, I'm listening to this meeting yesterday. You know how when you're like listening to a meeting and then all of a sudden you're in the meeting? Like, oh.
That's literally never happened to most, probably anybody.
I'm in the meeting. Okay. Well, this is good. But, I mean, you know, I get. I mean, it's not good to have people either misunderstand or miscommunicate the facts, but I guess it's good to, you know, have a resource you can point to and be like, I know this is accurate. 437-1620. The only reason I would bring this up, this is because I would, as I have told other people, I would just assume that we moved on. I think it's, you know, moving on time is here. Okay. But it's not moving on time because tonight, oh dear, listeners, tonight we have a special called meeting of the City Council of Milton, called yesterday by Mayor Heather Lindsay. Subject of the meeting, attorney communications. This is now the third time that she's called a meeting to expose, investigate, discuss, chastise, I don't know what verb you like, attorney Alex Andrade, who, you know, understand the backstory here a little bit. Whether you think it's relevant, I'm going to tell you that it's just the history, okay? You have to decide what things are relevant. But Alex was hired to take the job as the city attorney after Heather Lindsay was forced out, before she was mayor. She used to be the city attorney in Milton. And so she was, you know, Jeff Snow had tried to force her to resign, or try to fire her, and somehow in the negotiations she quit rather than being resigned, you know, rather than being fired. So I think the terminology, I just don't want to make it seem like they actually did fire. I don't think that's what actually happened. But, you know, several years ago before she was the mayor, before she was a assistant city attorney at Pensacola, as she is now, she was kind of, you know, she was lefted. You know, they say, like, you know, didn't leave, but she didn't do it entirely voluntarily anyway. So she was lefted. And then Alex Andrade took the job. So does she have ongoing issues with him for that? I don't know. I'm just telling you the history. And I know it's something that people like to bring up. So I'm just, you know, relaying it to you as a piece of information. I'm not drawing the conclusion. But I will say this. I've got a 54 pages worth of communications between Alex and her, emails and texts, and she's having, all we know is it's a special called meeting about attorney communications, because she had sent him an email late Friday night, I think it was. Maybe it was Thursday night now. I don't remember. It's not that important. It was after Thursday's meeting, basically telling him, you know, you should take this as a personal growth opportunity. You have not been 100% great in all of this. I mean, it's just like, you know, let's see. Let me see if I can. I'll actually read a little bit of the email. Yeah. You have spent considerable time and energy accusing counsel of violating a policy that does not apply. That's the one about not communicating with the client when they've agreed to negotiate but haven't finished the negotiations, which further stoked mistrust among the council and characterizing the public as being at fault. Your communication with me last weekend was entirely focused on those two points. When I suggest you call Scott, you did not acknowledge the suggestion focused on your defense. There's no other way to interpret your communication with me last weekend. Had you texted me or emailed me that you'd make an effort to salvage the situation with Scott, I would have had a different outlook on Sunday. She goes on. She says he gave up on executing the will of the council, that he's been justifying himself. Good government depends on honesty and integrity of city officials. No one should be treating the public as the enemy. Last weekend, instead of reflecting on Scott's email and contacting him to reopen a conversation, you focused on Pam Mitchell and accusing others of violating a policy doesn't apply. If you're willing to reflect to discern your part in the communication breakdown and how you've been interpreted, I believe you'll be a better communicator in the future. Thank you for reading this email. I do not require a response. Your work is directed by the county council majority. You don't owe me an explanation. This was the early line. No one else is in a position to help you grow from this. I offer this email for that purpose and no other. To which Alex responds to counsel and Randy Jorgensen. Please see the communication below from her. And then, this is abusive and defamatory behavior, and it's unacceptable in a professional work environment. As Mr. Collins texts with me and his quoted comments in the P&J confirm I did nothing wrong or inappropriate. I serve at the pleasure of the council. If the council cannot protect staff from abusive behavior like this from disgruntled council members, I do not believe city can function properly. So we're having a meeting tonight. God, I was so... What did I say yesterday? I said, you know, you would think they would all learn, they would all reflect, everybody would let it go, move on, grow up, work together, and find a solution so the city can be better off in the future, right?
Right.
Nope.
Well?
Nope. So it's worse than ever now. And again, not to point out the obvious, but there was a special called meeting last Thursday that got canceled. There was a special called meeting on Tuesday about Alex Andrade from mayor, and then she canceled once she learned other information. Now we have another special called meeting about all of this. My goodness.
You should read your text. It says you should go.
No, I don't go to the meetings. No, the reason I'm going to meetings is, honestly, the real simple reason is it takes too much time there and back, and that's the only thing I can do is if I go to the meetings. That's all I can do is be at the meeting. When I'm at home listening to the meeting or often watching the meeting the day or two after, well, or listening to it typically when I'm cooking, I can do other things. I don't have to be only doing that one thing. So multitasking is, you know, how do you watch all these meetings, read all this internet, and do all this? Because I'm doing a lot of different things at the same time. And if I'm there in the room watching the meeting, oh, good Lord. So, no, that's why I don't go to meetings. 437-1620. Pray for Milton. I say that like I'm laughing like it. But, no, seriously. Like, pray for Milton. They need it a lot. 520 on News Radio 92.3. I don't know if Alex Stays is the attorney. He's underpaid. I mean, there was an email in the back and forth and all this. He's like, you know, you bringing up my contract has kind of raised for me the realization that I haven't even looked into my rates in several years, which are already like half my normal rate. You know, just anyway, we'll be back in just a minute. I'm Andrew McKay. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, amazed.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says. If you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
those stomach issues ruined your birthday?
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa?
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z Sleep plus next day energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
My client has given me permission to make the following statement on her behalf. There was no kidnapping on Thursday, July 9th, 13th, 2023. My client did not see a baby on the side of the road. My client did not leave the Hoover area when she was identified as a missing person. My client did not have any help in this incident, but this was a single act done by herself.
My client doesn't actually own a car or a phone. My, I mean, you know, listen, kudos to my wife. She called this 100%. No, take it back. She, well, maybe she did. She just, she said there's something wrong with that woman. This story doesn't make any sense. I don't think she said it was a lie. I think she more believed that there was something sort of mentally off with her. But yeah, from the start, you know, when everybody's talking about, yeah, you got to beware, man. People put those bait kids out on the highway and that's how they kidnap people. And we're like, why would you assume that? That's like the darkest possible interpretation of
these events.
Because
those are people that watch Dateline. I'm the same way.
Yeah, but like that's so what? And then, of course, as everything unraveled and none of the facts added up, Carly wound up sending her attorney out to give. And it was kind of weird having the police chief read the note. Like, that's actually the police chief for Hoover. That's Nick Durzis. Having him read the note about how, oh, made up, completely made up. So the whole, you know, this is Balloon Boy all over again, isn't it? Sort of, you know, remember Balloon Boy?
Oh, I forgot about that.
4-3-7-16.
We need to recreate that.
Oh, no.
Not the hoax part.
Like, all right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the White House says that President Biden was never in business with his son, Hunter. That according to Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday in response to allegations that a Ukrainian energy executive paid millions in bribes to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden during the president's time in the Obama administration. Apparently, IRS agents are no longer going to show up at people's homes and businesses unannounced. The agency announcing yesterday that it's ending that practice. Now they'll be sending letters to schedule meetings with people instead. And the Hollywood strike apparently is not the only thing that's setting back production on the Beetlejuice 2 movie. Police in Vermont say they're now investigating the theft of two large props that were stolen from the set of the movie. The investigation began a couple weeks ago after apparently a large lamppost topped with a pumpkin was stolen by somebody in a pickup truck. And then,
I was going to ask, what's the other one?
And then a 200-pound sculpture. Apparently, it doesn't say what the sculpture was, but a 200-pound sculpture was also stolen from the set.
From what movie?
Beetlejuice 2.
Yeah. What movie? No, sir. What was the movie again?
Beetlejuice 2.
I'm sorry. What's the pronunciation one more time?
I can't say it again.
No!
I caught on to what you're doing. I can't do that. I'm not bringing that on me.
He got me with that last year.
So close.
That's why I still have to work here. It's bad luck. I bet it was a sandworm.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Thanks, David. Can't even bring an evil spirit to life in our control room or nothing. Fine,
you'd never do anything interesting.
528, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, so boring. What else do we have going on? This is just kind of a, this is more of a like, to understand the situation a little bit, and I don't think I can bring you a lot of insight. I can just kind of tell you a little bit about what I've read, which is, you know, this whole business in Israel where they passed these laws that changed the relationship between their, what we'd call a Congress, they call, they don't call it Parliament, what do they call it? The Knesset, and their Supreme Court. And they, you know, there's been protests in the street for like months over this, okay? And the basic issue is that Netanyahu, who is the once and now again, right? So Netanyahu has gotten through, they've now passed it yesterday, and it's rules that weaken the power of their Supreme Court, which the previous set of rules allowed their Supreme Court to strike down a law on the basis of that law being unreasonable, basically. Not as a violation of the Constitution, because they don't really have a formal constitution of that same sort that we have here. So the court could override government decisions because they find them unreasonable. And the argument was that standard gives the Supreme Court too much power, sort of veto power over their legislative body. And so this is a way of curtailing excessive judicial power. The people who liked that old system believe that unless the Supreme Court has that power, there's no real check or balance against the power of their legislative body. And so now the parliament can do anything that it wants to do. And they don't have a bicameral legislature. They have a unicameral. So it's just the one body. It's not like, you know how right now we have Republicans own the House and senators, or Democrats, sorry, own the Senate, or at least own it enough to make the votes right. So then you have disagreement between the houses, and therefore it's harder to pass things. They don't have that. So all you got to do is get it through the one. And remember, in their system, Netanyahu, for example, is a member of, right, is a part of, and they work very closely with. So the argument is this erodes the checks and balances. It makes it for a sham democracy. You basically just have a royal parliament is doing everything. That's what the argument is over. If that sounds like a weird thing for people to be out in the streets protesting, well, I'm just telling you the backdrop, okay?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Hunter Biden's former business associate and Barrisso board member Devin Archer will appear next Monday in front of the House Oversight Committee for an interview.
And the New York Post says Archer plans to testify that Joe Biden attended Hunter's business meetings in person and on speakerphone up to 24 times while he was vice president.
Fox's Brooke Singman. Now, the White House denies any wrongdoing by the president when he was the VP. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Answer remains the same. The president was never in business with his son.
Hunter Biden in court tomorrow, expected to plead guilty to lesser charges in his tax and gun case. An excessive heat warning has been extended through Thursday for the Phoenix area. Temps remain in the 110s this week, according to the National Weather Service. And the price of gas rising 4 cents overnight, landing at $3.63 a gallon for regular. That from AAA. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 and News Radio 92.3 at 75. Partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Santa Rosa County leaders planning to vote this week to oppose restrictions in the Gulf of Mexico related to the protection of Rice's whales. Back in April, NOAA posted a notice regarding a petition to establish a vessel slowdown zone that would include no vessel transits at night and a 10-knot restriction in waters between 400 meters deep from Pensacola to just south of Tampa.
It's kind of like the beach issue last time. It's the one place where folks can go enjoy their life and have fun with their family. And for them to be told by the federal government that they got to, you know, go less than 10 knots. I mean, that's less than 10 miles per hour. That's ridiculous and wrong.
And that is Santa Rosa County Commissioner James Calkins, who says he would support a county resolution voicing their opposition on that. And that's set to be voted on at Thursday's meeting. A ribbon-cutting ceremony scheduled for this Friday to celebrate Santa Rosa County's newest school facility. District Superintendent Karen Barber saying that they're extremely proud of that new Wallace Lake K-8 school just north of Pace, and that's ready to open to students and staff this year. It's located over at 3354 Wallace Lake Road. They'll be having a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. The National Hurricane Center monitoring a second disturbance in the Atlantic.
The good news is forecasters are giving the low pressure a near 0% chance of developing over the next 48 hours and just a 20% chance of formation over the next 7 days. It's located a few hundred miles south of Bermuda. Meanwhile, the first disturbance east of the Windward Islands is expected to produce local heavy rain and strong gusty winds across portions of the Lesser Antilles, but a formation chance through 7 days is low at 20%.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford reporting there. The top police official in Miami-Dade County is now reportedly in stable condition after shooting himself in the head this week.
Please keep this family in your prayers. This is a man with a stellar career in law enforcement, and we want to make sure that we are trying to do everything we possibly can to get him back to full recovery.
And authorities there in Miami-Dade say that it happened on Sunday, apparently after he'd had an argument with his wife. Tampa police were called to the domestic dispute at a hotel where Ramirez was attending a conference in Tampa. He's still in the hospital after having surgery on Monday, but the good news is he is expected to survive. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a small chance of rain this afternoon, 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 95, mostly sunny skies throughout the day with a low near 80 degrees. We're going to be seeing mostly sunny skies for your Wednesday with a small 10% chance of rain, high near 95, Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR KARTV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
75 in Pensacola. It's 78 in Gulf Breeze. 75 in Milton. And our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hurricane season is here. Don't wait until your Generac generator is needed to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today and schedule maintenance of your generator. With the most Generac certified technicians in the area, they'll make sure your generator is good to go. If you need a new unit or replacement unit, remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you'll never spend a dime until your unit is on your property. Call White Sands Electric today, 850-433-6080, for all your electrical and generator needs.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Apparently, the cartels have changed the fentanyl way that it's made, and they've got a substance in it that stops the Narcan. So these kids are having these Narcan parties, and it's like a designated driver thing, and they shoot them up or whatever they do with the Narcan, but it doesn't work anymore. So that's raising the deaths.
Now, this was at the Milton City Council meeting last Thursday, completely unrelated to all of the drama. Just they had a presentation earlier in the week on suicides, and this was kind of a follow-up on that. This is Peter Branich, who was just kind of talking during the public forum and mentioning this. I'd call it an allegation. I hadn't heard any of this either. I would figure if this was true, we might have seen it in other news reporting. But I wanted to ask, because if anybody would know, since this is Santa Rosa County, Sheriff Bob Johnson would know. So we asked him about this yesterday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. We'll get the sheriff here in just a second. Hold on just a second. Try it again. All right. Which, by the way, he joined us while he was at the Sheriff Association. I think it was Sheriff Association meeting in the state of Florida. Later on today, Chip Simmons is going to join us from there also. He's down there in Tampa or Orlando or something like that. Anyway, Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Have you heard of this before? Do you know anything about this?
No, I have not heard of that, but I plan on calling my narcotics supervisor after the show and ask him if I know he's heard of it, if it's a true fact, but okay. No, that's a first for me.
Okay, well, great. And obviously, just let me know, because I hope I can say this was not true. I'm horrified to find out that it might be true, but that's why I wanted to ask you, because I figured you would know or could find out, so I appreciate that. We had a pretty bad incident this week involving Stephen Jernigan, very notable local figure in Santa Rosa County. You tell me, we've got an arrest made in the homicide, right?
We do. Unfortunately, this has been a really bad year for Santa Rosa County. We normally, in a normal year, we'll have three or four homicides, and I think Stephen Jernigan made either our ninth or tenth. Mm. And it's mostly domestic related, you know, families and stuff. So it's impossible to prevent. But I am proud to say our major crimes unit is one of the best in the country, and all of them have been solved, and all of the perpetrators are going to be brought to justice. I think we have two that were actually self-defense, but they're still considered homicides because it obviously is not a natural death.
And so, I mean, I guess the guy who's been booked into jail is a relative of his. And do we know anything about, you know, motive, or do we know anything that you can say at this point?
Yeah, they're definitely related, our cousins. And basically, I don't know a whole lot on it. What I've been briefed so far is basically he came over to Mr. Jernigan's house. They got into altercation, and then obviously it escalated pretty rapidly. And we got called, and then shortly thereafter, we ran everything through the state attorney's office, and we had a warrant signed for, I believe, second-degree homicide. And he's currently in custody, so.
Okay. Well, as you said, it's been a very bad year, but your major crimes unit is very good at following these things up and, you know, finding the person that they believe was who committed it. You had a warning out about Amazon deliveries because of the personal vehicles that are being used now. Is that right?
Yeah, and I don't know why or what has possessed Amazon to do this, but not only are people using personal vehicles, but they're going at all times, day and night, which, you know, it's a recipe for disaster. You come knocking on somebody's door at 2 a.m. and you're in a civilian vehicle and civilian clothes, and you're up on somebody's porch banging on the door. I mean, bad things can happen. So I don't know what's possessed them.
Really? That like they, any? Wow.
Yeah, we've been briefed that it's going to be around the clock pretty much. And which scares me to death. I don't know why a company would do this. I know you want to make profits and everything, but there's no reason to be knocking on somebody's door delivering a package after, I would say, 8 or 9 o'clock at the latest.
Yeah, I mean, after dark is already kind of, you know, I mean, there's a certain allowance of up to 10 o'clock maybe is reasonable. But as a pattern, I mean, you're going to have dogs bark and people are going to get woken up. Yeah. I mean, people are going to be showing up to their front door with a gun. I mean, this is not a good thing.
No, it's not. And I find it hard to believe Amazon is in such dire straits that they need to do this. That's the scary part. I mean, I'm pretty sure Amazon is a pretty solvent corporation and they make a little bit of money. So why you would need to do this is just, it's totally incredible. I don't know who made the decision or why they did, but it's a pretty stupid one.
Yeah, that's kind of unbelievable. One of the cooler things that I saw this week is I saw a video of some of your folks who apparently what you've got is you've got a whole new kind of, I don't know, I guess I'd call it like a siren for one of the vehicles. Is this the new pull me over sound or the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's deputy vehicles?
Not vehicles. We have over 300, and this is the only one with that very unique siren that we programmed into it. But yeah, you know, it's so hot around here, and ice cream never hurt anybody. So we figured we would kind of do something a little lighthearted for a change, and hopefully the community likes it.
No, I loved it. And you basically, in this case, I didn't see the location, but you pulled into a park where you were up in the pavilion delivering ice cream to the kids, and, you know, people were getting their treat on. And it was just, it was a neat little example of community policing, community engagement and outreach, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we don't want people to say every time they see a cop, oh, no, what happened, you know. It's nice to show up on a scene and people be happy to see you. And, you know, you're not there to arrest anybody or tase anybody or anything like that. So it's just one more way we try to reach out and show the community, hey, we may have badges and guns and patrol cars, but we're human beings, too. We're just like everybody else. We just have a job to do.
You know, just one time between you and me, nobody else is listening. I would like to see the SWAT team roll up in like their Bearcat with this music.
I don't know if I could convince the team commander for that or not.
that would be a completely disorienting approach to that response. Sheriff Johnson,
yes,
as always, thank you so much for the time, especially when you're in a conference elsewhere in the state. I'm sure sure next week we'll talk about some of the stuff that you learned, and we'll follow up as well on the allegation of the more dangerous fentanyl. But, sir, thank you for what you do for the community. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, man.
Most definitely. And we will. And you know what? It's my fault. I meant to follow up with him yesterday to see if there was any truth to it. I'll have a chance to talk to Sheriff Simmons today, and I'll see if we can. Because, you know, it strikes me as the kind of thing we would have heard more about if it was true. Honestly, I was kind of hoping that he would kind of be able to say, yeah, no, we heard that too, and it's not accurate. I certainly don't want to make it sound like this is an actual thing that's happening until we get a little bit better information. 437-1620, that's my phone number if you need to sell a home or buy a home or you're thinking about it. And, you know, I know the thinking about it phase is one of those, well, I don't want to bother somebody, you know, because, look, you know, somebody like a Christina Leavenworth, she's very busy. I don't want to bother her, having her come over to talk to us and just to tell her that we're not even going to sell our house. And she says, I will give you her answer to this, okay? Her answer, because I understand that idea, but her answer is, no, bother me. It's okay. She was on Pep Talk with Tammy Martin last week, and she specifically said, it doesn't bother me at all. I love talking about real estate. I love explaining things to people and helping them understand. And if I can make you more comfortable with whatever decision you make to buy or to sell it or just to hold, you know, whatever right now, she says, no problem. Because maybe you're not a client today. Maybe you're a client in 3 years. Maybe you know somebody who's a client in a year. Maybe nothing happens. It's fine. Either way, no big deal. The other thing that I love this, what she said was, I'm a nerd when it comes to real estate. Like, I'm obsessed with it. I love thinking about it and what's going on and how things are working and what's affecting how people make these decisions. And, you know, she made the comment, she said, don't you want somebody who's kind of a nerd about their subject matter if there are professional services, you know, that you're going to hire? And I'm, yes. Yes, I don't want somebody for whom, you know, being an auto mechanic is like, it's just a thing they do on the side as a part. You know, like, that's not who I want. Somebody who's obsessed with it, who, like, reads all of the new information and pays attention to all of the new things. That, like, that's what I want. Same for a doctor, same for an attorney, same for a real estate agent. So if you want somebody who is a super nerd by her own admission about real estate, and she doesn't mind coming to talk to you, even if you're not sure what you're going to do, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM. 1620.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, country music duo Wester takes the stage. Wester is comprised of Pensacola's own Pearl Clarkin and Rafe Wester, and they pack a fun, fresh, and explosive punch. It's Bands on the Beach with Wester this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets in class allowed.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Danger Powers Personal Effects.
Actually, my name is Austin Powers.
It says your name, Danger Powers.
No. Danger's my middle name.
The night.
549 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is, well, he's a superhero, honestly. He's our newsman.
Well, thank you. Kind
and,
words.
No, but seriously, like, by night, wrestler slash trivia presenter. By day, newsman. So, you know, it's like put on his glasses, take off his glasses. You never know what you're
well,
going to get.
Well, you know, I wear a lot of hats. And some
you?
Spandex.
And masks?
It's crazy.
And some spandex. Nicely done.
The Biden administration's lawsuit against the state of Texas has been filed. The Justice Department filed that suit yesterday in federal district court in Austin after a deadline it had given Texas to remove the big buoy barrier past the system of buoys in the Rio Grande is near Eagle Pass. The White House threatening to veto a proposed military construction bill on Monday. White House officials said the Republican-backed bill would cut domestic spending to levels far below what the Fiscal Responsibility Act allows, and they say it would hurt critical services. If the bill does go through, there would be deep cuts to climate change and clean energy programs. And apparently Dwayne The Rock Johnson supporting his fellow actors in SAG-AFTRA. Andrew, according to a report from Variety, he made a seven-figure donation to SAG-AFTRA's foundation to help offset financial difficulties.
Interesting. All right. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Just one small note, just for those of you who watch like the weather pages and you see this, low chance of formation system that's kind of southeast of the Caribbean islands right now between there and the coast of the northern coast of South America. There's a maybe we'll form blob, and it looks kind of like if you just looked at the map where they've got the area that it's going to affect, you know, not the cone, but the area, like the little circle with the yellow and the X and all that. It kind of looks like one of those storms that it might come our way. But then if you actually look at the projections for the track, it's coming nowhere near us. Even if it forms, it's going to go directly over like north of Panama. Like it's going to go well south. It's going to go west and then south. So don't worry about that system if you had seen that anywhere like on social media or whatever. The other thing, kind of an interesting thing, also a Gulf story, Santa Rosa County Commission. One of the items that came up yesterday and will be on the Thursday agenda has to do with the NOAA rules for the Gulf for protecting whales, a certain kind of whale. This is Commissioner Colton Wright.
Gentlemen, you've got the resolution that I asked to have drafted in the backup. I'm not going to ask that we obviously vote on that today. I think it'd be just good for everyone to take a look at that. See if you have any concerns or questions, and if you do, certainly, you know, give that back to staff this week so that we can discuss that and talk about adopting on Thursday. But I'm very concerned that NOAA's efforts right now to put a huge area of the Gulf of Mexico and say that you can have no nighttime boat travel is probably a little extreme. Also, the speed limits they're putting out there. And while I do understand there are some exceptions for the military's mission when it comes to nature and wildlife, I want to make sure that we are not doing anything to jeopardize our military's efforts in that Gulf test range.
So the proposal would have, it's actually, there's four or five, depending on how you count them, rules. The area affected is, if you look on a map, it starts just south of Pensacola and almost west to the Alabama line. To the Mississippi line. And it forms a kind of a batarang shape that sort of mirrors the shape of Florida. And it goes all the way down as south as Fort Myers. So it's this giant space in the Gulf that is enormous. And it has things like mandatory speed restriction to 10 knots or less. Maintaining a 500-yard distance from Rice's whales, which are an endangered species. There's about 50 of them. We don't know an awful lot about them. There's no boating at night in that, 100-meter to 400-meter deep zone. That's what that zone recognizes, and that's their core distribution area. Vessels transiting must use automatic identification system, and vessels transiting must report their travel plans to the NMFS and utilize visual observers to make sure that they're not bumping into or killing these whales. Now, the response from the boating community is, we don't have any evidence of this actually happening. We don't have any, there's no data to show that this is really a danger or that this would solve it or that there aren't better, more effective ways of solving for this potential problem. So this is an incredibly restrictive proposal being tossed around by NOAA. So what's happening is the Santa Rosa County Commission is going to pass a resolution on Thursday saying, don't do this. This is a bad idea. And the Florida Port Council argues it'll considerably hinder activity at, for example, the Port of Pensacola and Tampa and Panama City. So the Board of County Commissioners opposes the proposed restrictions. They haven't passed this yet, but I assume they'll pass it unanimously. Request NOAA to consider the significant long-term economic impact on the state and local economy, commerce, fishing, and other valuable assets of the Gulf of Mexico. Further, board implores NOAA to consider ramifications the proposed rulemaking may have on the security of our nation, as the Gulf Test Range is one of the United States' most important testing and training areas, and boats wouldn't be able to go more than 10 knots. And, you know, you have James Calkins, County Commissioner James Calkins, commenting on this as well in the meeting.
I went over this, and I appreciate you bringing this up. I think it's very, very important, because the federal government trying to restrict our local people, I mean, this would restrict speed boats and people's freedom off our coast. It's, again, it's kind of like the beach issue last time. It's the one place where folks can go enjoy their life and have fun with their family, and for them to be told by the federal government that they got us, you know, go less than 10 knots. I mean, that's less than 10 miles per hour. That's ridiculous and wrong. And I didn't know about this until you brought this resolution up. So I'm very thankful.
I agree with everything he says. Just one minor note is that 10 knots is not actually less than 10 miles an hour. 10 knots is 11 and a half miles an hour. So when he says, you know, 10 knots is, it's just kind of got that wrong. But it's an easy one to mess up if you're not big into boating. And I have to check it, frankly, every time I go to think about this, because I know they're close, but they're not the same. It's not like miles per hour and kilometers per hour, where there's a pretty significant difference between them. It's sort of similar. The other thing that came up in the meeting, so I assume they're going to sign that, and I don't know whether Escambia is going to take this up, whether other counties are going to take this up. I would hope they all will. I would hope that you know, the Navy can lean on NOAA, and I would assume the state of Florida can lean on them a little bit too, and, you know, make this go away. The other interesting note, you remember how Escambia County and the city of Pensacola got all of this money from, you know, from the state for, like, doing things like the ECAT bus terminal? Okay, I mean, it's like $70 million or something. It's an enormous amount of money. Yeah,
but it needs work.
Yeah, well, not just that project, but other projects as well.
Right.
Flood mitigation and different things. And I had asked the question of Sam Abel off the air. I didn't ask her on the air. I had asked her, well, why didn't Gulf Breeze get any of this? And so, and I didn't really give you that answer, which I should, but it's interesting because Brad Baker, the Santa Rosa County Administrator, same criticism got raised at the commission meeting yesterday. You know, well, why didn't you guys apply for more of this money? Why didn't you get more of this money? And Brad Baker says,
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify for the board and for the public that, you know, Mr. Kerr brought up the $80 million or so that Escambia got. We did submit multiple grants. That Sally grant opportunity was based on the low to moderate income index and the CDBG funds that they were allocating that program through. So none of our grants matched that requirement. So that's why we did not. Only Panama City, Bay County, and Escambia got any of the Sally grant. So it was not that we did not submit. We were just unsuccessful because our county is blessed to have higher indexes than the other counties. So
yeah, those were low to moderate income grants. So Gulf Breeze being a wealthier area on average, and Santa Rosa County in general being a wealthy area, they didn't qualify for any of the money that Escambia or the city qualified for. So that's your answer. And that's what Sam had told me as well. I had forgotten to tell you. And then, because it's the kind of thing that people might think, like, well, why didn't Santa Rosa apply for these grants? Well, you know, they did apply, but they just, you know, they didn't qualify for them. So that's why they didn't get it. 558 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? No, I don't want to do all. Well, this is, you know how we've got this ongoing question of whether the Parkland, the post-Parkland rule that made it so that 18, 19, and 20-year-olds can't buy handguns, and this has been litigated, and it's kind of at the appeals court level. The appeals court has now put that question on hold because there's a case out of Texas. The case out of Texas has to do with risk protection orders, what we call red flag laws. And basically what they say is because that case is coming after the New York Gun Club case, what the Supreme Court ruled on, they don't know what the Supreme Court is going to say about the application to the risk protection orders, also a part of the post-Parkland bill. And so they want to wait until the Supreme Court hears that case next year, which they will. So that means we're not going to get resolution at all on the question of 19 and 20-year-olds until at least after next summer, from the Supreme Court and thereafter from the Circuit Court. So the whole litigation there is just kind of on hold.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.